Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It is another episode of A Fistful of Collars, the Flow Grappling Podcast. And today, myself and Chase are joined by a very special guest, none other than two-time ADCC champion, four-time Nogi world champion, I believe. Correct? Yeah?
Correct.
Awesome. Yeah. Man, the problem is you have so many titles, it's sometimes it's hard to remember. But we have the one and only Yuri Samoys here in the house. Yuri, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Why are you here? What's up?
What brings you to Austin, Texas? Well,
yeah, exactly. What's going on, man? We don't often see you in this part of the world, right? You live in California, so it's kind of nice to see you here in Texas. What's up?
Yeah, actually, I come here maybe almost every once in a year. I have a good friend of mine here, Rodrigo Cabral. He's a black belt, and we used to train in the same team back when I lived in Brazil. And I came here to teach a seminar at his academy and to train with his students too, a bunch of beasts.
Yeah, he has a couple of students that I think people are really starting to find out about, right? Because yeah. He is the coach for William Tackett and Cody Steele, right? And
these
guys have been tearing it up on the no-gi scene. What's it been like training with those guys?
Amazing. I mean, I've been learning a lot. I've always been the kind of guy that I like to go out there and train with the best in the game. I feel like that's the way to learn. And, you know, they're definitely bringing a new game, new style. And, you know, you got to update yourself, you know. You got to train and update yourself if you want to still hang with these beasts.
That's interesting then. What's new? What are they doing different?
A lot of the invert game, their guard, I feel like. Nowadays, they're doing, more stuff from the back, for playing guard and even in Nogi too, I feel like a lot of the leg locks or game is changing. People have been doing that in the last couple of years, but it's just getting better and better. And yeah, just they enjoy training Nogi there too. So I feel like, yeah, it's good for me. It's good for my jiu-jitsu to work with those guys, you know?
Yeah, man. We've been watching those guys for some time now, right? And we've been up to the gym a few times to film the training there. And is it as intense as it looks in the videos that we've been putting out? Because those guys, they look like they go hard.
Yeah, that's how I like to go too, so it's all good. Yeah, but it's pretty good training for sure, yeah.
Do you find them coming after you, being the ADCC champ, two-time champ? Are they trying to test themselves against you, or are they a little bit nervous maybe?
No, they're super respectful, but I just feel like as competitors, we go hard, and that's how it goes, and I'm okay with that. That's why I came to train with them, you know, and that's good. And even though now, I'm more focusing, my focus is kind of shifting to MMA, I still want to do some no-gi tournaments and stuff, and jiu-jitsu is always going to be part of my life. So, it's something I always want to be training, and I always want to, I always want to kind of have around me, you know, even on my path to MMA, I never want to be the guy that just abandon jiu-jitsu and go to another modality. I always want to represent jiu-jitsu and train and evolve with it, you know.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because, you know, you've had this dream of doing MMA for as long as I've known you, but I think that since you were a little kid, you always wanted to be an MMA fighter, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
but
that's right.
It's nice though that, you know, you are jiu-jitsu first, right?
Yeah.
And then you're going to take that into your MMA career. Let's talk about this then, because in terms of jiu-jitsu, I mean, you've done pretty much everything there is to do, you know? Like we said, ADCC gold medal, one of the toughest tournaments in the world to win. You did it twice in two different weight classes.
Yeah.
You know, you were a world no-gi champion multiple times, both weight and absolute. You competed gi, you competed no-gi, you competed pretty much every different rule format. So is it a natural progression for you to go to MMA at this point? Or was it just like, if I do it now, this is like the time? Like, what was the kind of the thought process that thought, okay, I need to do this now?
I think a bit of both.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you said, it's something that I always wanted to do. I feel like that's what got me into jiu-jitsu in first place. You know, like I would watch like Choke from Hicks and Gracie as a, you know, I was 8 years old. I don't know any other 8 years old that watched that as much as I did. But, you know, like I remember saying, like, I want to do G's, you know, I was so young. And eventually, like training jiu-jitsu, I fell in love with jiu-jitsu sports too, you know, and competing jiu-jitsu and stuff. I wanted to make a name on that sport. And I wanted to, you know, conquer something, like accomplish something in that sport. And
you did.
Yeah.
You did a lot.
And I'm pretty happy with my titles, my accomplishments, but I'm the kind of guy that I'm always looking for a challenge. I always want to challenge myself, and that's why you say, like, I always, you saw me competing in all these different types of rule sets. I feel like jiu-jitsu is jiu-jitsu, you know? If you know jiu-jitsu, you should be able to apply to any rule set that you can grapple. So, you know, that's what I've been doing, for a long time, always trying to test myself, and now I think that's the time to really challenge myself to, like, the realest form of fighting, you know? And I feel like bringing jiu-jitsu and representing jiu-jitsu in that is my next mission.
You just announced recently that you signed with ONE FC, the MMA promotion based in Singapore. What was that process like? Did they reach out to you? Did you contact them? How did it all come about?
They reached out to me. First, I made a post saying that I really wanted to fight.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Were just testing, right? Just saying that you were interested.
Yeah, and I always kind of like liked everything I heard about them. I always heard they're very respectful with their athletes and the way they handle their business and stuff. Like, you know, there's some events you hear that don't really care. And, like, I heard only positive stuff about their organization. And I was like, you know, I also wanted to fight in Asia. You know, back in the days, like, MMA scene was always there. So I feel like that's...
Were you like an old-school Pride fan and
all
that kind
course,
of stuff?
Of course, yeah, man. Yeah. You know, back then, we would have to wake up, like, 4 a.m. to make it to see a live Pride event in Brazil. And I would wake up at every event. I was, like, a big fan for sure. But, yeah, I feel like, you know, they're doing great with their events. And they're doing great things for the sport of MMA. And I feel like... it was perfect for me to partner up and sign with them. And eventually after that post, they reach out to me and they start talking, and yeah. And then they came with a contract, and like maybe 2 months ago, I signed it. Yeah.
Nice. So the question then for us is when will we see Yuri Samoys fight MMA?
So, you know, you guys know I had an injury on ADCC, a pretty serious injury. Had to have surgery. I'm already training a while ago. I started training maybe 2 months ago. And, you know, it was a tough time. You know, it's not never easy to get hurt as an athlete, especially when you get such a serious injury. But I'm strong. I'm training again. And it depends on the doctor for me to see when I'm going to fight exactly. He told me September, but I told him I wanted to fight before that. You know, I've had... similar kind of injury on my other knee before, and I was able to compete. Like, I was fighting ADCC 7 months after that. So
I'm winning.
Yeah. So I'm pretty confident I can fight in July, but it's going to be up to him. I still got to get his clearance for me to fight and stuff. And then once I do that, then I can start thinking about the opponent and everything. But I'm already training every day, Monday through Saturday, sometimes Sunday.
Wow.
What does your training look like? I mean, it's a little bit different than jiu-jitsu. You mentioned you kind of shifted maybe some of the things you're working on. Can you give us some idea on what you're doing out there?
Yeah, I've been going to CSA every day in Dublin, California. And I take like 2-3 classes of strike. I'm just going like mainly for the evening classes there. And then they have sparring two times a week, like in the afternoon, early in the afternoon, and then I'll go for those as well. I'm still like gradually building my training up. Like I started, like I said, training 2 months ago, but I was only able to do a little bit, you know, and week by week I've been increasing my training to the point where I'm now like sparring and stuff, you know. So, you know, pretty much 100%, and, you know, so yeah, my training is going to, I'm still going to add more stuff as I go, but I'm still on that process of like, still trying to focus mainly on my healing. And once that's like 1,000%, then we can just like focus on just train hard all day, you know.
And who are you working with? Like, obviously, you know, you train with Kyotera there in San Jose. He's been your jiu-jitsu coach for years now. Mm-hmm. And he's been there every step of the way when you won your ADCC titles, when you won your World No-Gi titles. But Kyo's not an MMA guy, right? So I'm sure he's going to be involved. Mm-hmm. But who is kind of the, who did the people, who did you go to
I'm training with Coach Kieran from CSA, Combat Sports Academy in Dublin. And he's an amazing coach. I've been learning so much. I always heard, like, I've trained in other gyms before, MMA gyms, and I always heard from several fighters that live in the area, they're like, oh, that's the best place for striking. Always heard good stuff about Coach Kieran. And when I finally got to meet him, I was like, okay, I realized why all that good talk is about. Super professional, super technical, like very detail-oriented. And, you know, I think that's something I need coming to MMA, because I do recognize that, like, striking would be my number one weakness. Like, I'm pretty confident in my takedowns, clinch, jiu-jitsu, but I really need to work on my striking. That's what I've been doing. And, you know, he's been helping me tremendously on that, you know.
So the, as you say there, the wrestling and the jiu-jitsu, you know, that's not a problem for you, right? You've been training that for so long, and we've seen it, you know. The wrestling was one of the crucial factors that allowed you to be so successful at ADCC, because like people say, ADCC, it really favors wrestling, right? And, you know, you won 2 times gold medal, and you had to go out there and you had to wrestle in every single match. So you have the jiu-jitsu, you have the wrestling. Adding the striking in, where do you feel right now? You know, if you used like the jiu-jitsu belt system, let's say, you know, you're a black belt in jiu-jitsu, right? But how do you feel in the, are you a white belt? Are you a blue belt in the striking?
You can't say he's a white belt.
I'm okay being a white belt. I think it's exciting to be a white belt again, to be honest. I like that I'm learning a lot, that everything is pretty new. And I like that feeling of frustration when you don't get something right away. That works pretty well with me, like makes me go home and drill that exercise, that technique that I didn't learn. I've always been that way. So I would say like I'm a white belt, 4 stripes,
oh, nice.
Very dedicated.
And I guess the other question is that is you kind of had this idea of MMA, but did you ever dabble up until now? Is this the first time that you seriously focused on developing the striking skills, or had you worked it ever in the past?
Yeah, so like I've trained growing up, like back in Brazil, I trained like 2 years of Muay Thai at a gym. You know, I've trained in like in Croatia. I have a good friend of mine there, and I spent some time in Croatia, like at the blue belt and stuff, back when I was like blue belt in jiu-jitsu. And I trained with this friend of mine for months there. So
yeah, who's in that, Brazil, who's that friend? Come
he's on, his name is Bojan Mirković. Yeah. He's I think, if I'm not mistaken, the first black belt in jiu-jitsu in Croatia.
Wow. And he introduced you to Krokop, right?
Yeah. And I train a lot with him. Yeah, he introduced me to Krokop, Igor Prokrak, all those guys. And I didn't get to train a lot of striking with Krokop. Luckily,
probably. Yeah, that would have been tough.
No, but you know, even Krokop said like I'm always welcome to come there and train, and I think that's something I would definitely be willing to do in the future, because big fan of his work and everything he's done.
Oh, the guy's a legend.
He's a legend,
right?
Yeah.
You got to roll with him, right?
I did. So strong, man. That guy's so strong. Yeah, but really cool dude too. You know. And he follows jiu-jitsu. He follows ADCC, and he knows a lot of the grapplers, like, you know, think people that I was like, oh, I had no idea this guy knew, you know, who those competitors were. And he was like, he apparently follows and really likes to watch jiu-jitsu matches, you know.
You were always a big Krokop fan, right, Chase?
Absolutely. You know, what was the phrase? Left leg cemetery, right leg hospital? I mean,
yeah.
and the shorts. The shorts are pretty sick, too. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So the this white belt mentality then, let's call it that, right? You're going into the striking, into the MMA with this fresh kind of look, like, you know, I don't know what I don't know.
And I wouldn't say I'm a white belt in MMA. I would say I'm a white belt in striking.
Right, but you have the white belt mentality that yes. you've gone in there with this idea that, okay, I need to learn how to put all these things together. Because that's the other thing, right? It's like you can be a good wrestler. You can have good jiu-jitsu and you can learn striking. But then right. MMA, when you have to put all those together. So how do you think that's going to go for you? Like when you start working on your actual strategies, are you going to go out there and are you still going to be a grappler first?
I'm always going to be a grappler. I think, you know, that's who I am. I've been training that for 23 plus years, you know. And, yeah, I'm coming to MMA as a jiu-jitsu guy. You know, I like that title. I don't mind that. I want to represent jiu-jitsu. And, you know, people say, oh, nowadays it's a mixed martial arts. I agree, but I feel like people that have a deep foundation in the modality, they're still the most successful in that sport, I believe. And I feel like that's, you know, that's always going to be my strongest weapon into MMA. And I feel like also that's what defers me from some other jiu-jitsu guys that are really good jiu-jitsu fighters, but maybe they rely a lot on grips and they don't really have the takedown aspect, which to me, I don't think it's a problem. I always worked my judo, freestyle, Greco-Roman. Like, I always try to, like, learn from different modalities to make my grappling game complete. And I feel like now bringing that to MMA, I have to be confident on that as well. At the same time that I'm aware of how much work I have to put on my striking, I'm also aware of what I'm bringing, you know, with all my background experience in jiu-jitsu and grappling and all of that, you know.
And what's it like grappling with MMA guys? Because it's very different to jiu-jitsu, right?
Yeah, it is different. I feel like the ground and pound mainly it's what makes it, like, you can't get hit and stuff like that. Like, you want to, like, protect yourself from strikes, too, when you don't have that in jiu-jitsu. But you can also get in positions and land strikes and expose them for submissions easier than in a match where the guy can just hide his limbs and, you know, once he realizes he's going to lose, he can just, like, focus on not getting tapped. We see that a lot in grappling. And that's one of the things I liked about combo jiu-jitsu is you can't really do that because if you're just like this, you're going to start getting slapped and you're going to become vulnerable. You really have to be active, you know? And I feel like it's kind of like that MMA, just more savage.
More consequences.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Chase trained some combat jiu-jitsu recently.
I went up with Cody Steele, and you shot an episode with Fix My Game with Reed last night. I mm-hmm. shot a combat jiu-jitsu episode of Cody, and he was very nice to me. He's okay. Very, very gentle. But
did he slap you a lot?
Not too much. He showed me that he could, though. He showed me that I was very vulnerable, and it was an eye-opening experience for me because I haven't done MMA or anything like that.
And you see how effective the strikes, like how they can expose you for submissions. And
absolutely. I didn't know what to do with my hands because before you can kind of frame, but if you're just hanging out there and not really guarding your face, you're going to get hit. So
for sure.
MMA is much worse, I imagine.
Yeah.
Have you started playing with that yet? You know, adding the strikes into your grappling?
Yeah, I have started doing that, yeah. And I'm even in the sparring, I'm trying to, like, get used to, I'm not, like, trying to hit so hard, but just, like, getting used to punching as I do the transitions on the ground. You know, I watch a lot of, like, Habib's fights. He's really good at that. He's good, like, you see Damien, he's excellent, you know, on the ground, of course. Probably the best jiu-jitsu fighter right now. You know, one of the best jiu-jitsu fighters ever. But you see how, like, Habib's ground is also very, very good. Probably not as good in transitions on the ground and submissions as Damien, but you see how well he puts his strikes as he does his transitions on the ground. You know, so I'm definitely looking up to those guys coming to MMA, and, like, I feel like that would, like, suit my game pretty well, you know?
That was going to be my question, actually, because you mentioned about how Hickson was an inspiration for you when you were a little kid, right?
For sure.
Inspiration
for
many
of
us,
people,
man.
Yeah.
And not just because of what he did in jiu-jitsu, but MMA also, and the real Vale Tudo, right? The real fighting. But you mentioned there about how you're a big fan of Khabib, and you're obviously, like us, a big fan of Damian Maia. Who else do you look at in the modern MMA? And you maybe see something in the style that you like. Is there anybody that you look at and you know you like what they do?
I like to watch Verdun. He's a great friend of mine.
You guys know each other, right?
Yeah, I grew up training under the same instructor that gave him his black belt and stuff. So we were like in the same team, but he was in another state. But he would always come close to the big tournaments to the team that I train at. And yeah, like we all, like everyone in my class looked up to him, you know. You know, all the guys, they were coming up in jiu-jitsu with me there and going to the class. He was the guy from the gym, and you know, being able to be there and watch him grow in MMA, it was really cool.
And you guys have something in common as well, because he obviously did very well in ADCC too, right?
That's true. Yeah, for sure. I look up to him, and yeah, there are other fighters too that I look up to. But what were you saying?
No, I was just wondering about. Do you ever talk to Verdum then? Like, does he? Have you talked to him about your plans to go to MMA?
Oh,
has,
for sure.
Has
yeah,
he given you any
him.
Kind
he's
of advice?
Super, he's super stoked too. Still want to train with him and learn. Because I train like a lot of jiu-jitsu with him, especially like the last couple years, helping prepare for some fights and like just training jiu-jitsu. But you know, I would be like stoked to learn from him in MMA. You know, and I never got the opportunity to learn anything like that with him because my focus was always grappling. But now, you know, when in the right time, I'll plan a trip there to train with him and learn some for sure.
What about the experience that he has to offer? Have you ever talked about it? Has he ever given you any kind of advice or just shared with you something from his
career? Oh, for sure. He always gives me a lot of like valuable advice, for sure. Yeah, he's a good friend.
That's cool. Wow, mm-hmm. You couldn't ask for somebody better, right? Former UFC heavyweight champion, ADCC standout. So.
Yeah, he's a legend, man.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say he's a legend, and when you know him, you see that he's more than that. He's also a really great guy. You know,
really?
Everyone around the guy loves him. He's just really good, got a really good energy, and he deserves all the success that he has, you know?
We see him sometimes at the jiu-jitsu tournaments in California, right?
Yeah.
He comes
by.
Oh,
that's true. Yeah.
I got to meet, actually, him in Korea at the Spider Tournament. He was there when he had a match with Lucas Hulk,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And he was super cool. He didn't recognize me or anything like that, but he was still very friendly, very open to doing stuff on camera. So, yeah, Verdum's really cool.
You trained with Fabricio for that match, right?
Yeah, I trained for that match.
That's great, right? So it's nice that you have that little exchange. You can help him with grappling, and hopefully he can help you
learn
MMA.
I learned from him a lot in grappling, too, you know. Mm. He's been black belt for when I was, like, an orange belt. So he has a lot of, like, jiu-jitsu experience, too, that I can learn from him. But, yeah, for sure, we helped each other on training. It was a great experience, man.
That's cool. Would something like UFC, you know, like, be a goal later on? Because you're not young. Right? You're not like a kid going into MMA now. You've had this grappling career, which has, you know, been your focus for years. Mm-hmm. And move into to MMA now. You've decided, okay, one championship is where I'm gonna make my debut, and you're gonna, you know, work there. But do you have that goal to maybe one day fight in like the UFC or a big promotion or?
Yeah, I do, but at the same time I'm like very grounded in the moment right now. I know that that's also like only going to happen depending on my outcome in this tournament, and that's my focus. I'm not trying to worry about the future, what's going to happen next. I'm really just stoked to sign with ONE right now and, you know, build a career with them. Right now, I wouldn't say that's all my plans, but who knows in the future, maybe that, you know, that could happen for sure.
Nice. I like the way you're thinking one fight at a time then.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going into it with this idea that I'm going to be a UFC heavyweight champion or something like that, right?
No. Yeah, the same mentality in jiu-jitsu. Like, you know, you go to a tournament, people are like, oh, how many fights you have? I always say ONE, the first one, you know. You don't know. You're going to see you have 4 fights. You lose the first one, you go home. You shower, you go home. So, you know, you got to one fight at a time, like you said. Yeah.
I just wanted to ask, yeah, going back to the comparison between Khabib and Damian, I feel like it's a bit of a simplification, but Khabib is like a pressure fighter. He really puts the pace on guys, and Damian is a little more like trap-based, I feel like. Do you see yourself fighting more like Khabib, like really, you know, grinding guys down like he does and wearing on them, or like Damian being very strategic and calculated?
I mean, I can't – it's I feel silly comparing myself to these guys because I haven't even had any MMA fight yet, but if I would – like grappling-wise, if I would put my jiu-jitsu and my grappling, compare that to them, I feel like I would be somewhere in between them. Yeah.
So like sort of half of the energy that Khabib brings and that kind of pressure, and but still
I use a lot of pressure strategy. Pass and stuff, but
right.
I also go for the back. I also trust my guard, you know. There are not many people out there that were able to pass my guard, and you know, so I feel like I also bring some elements that Khabib doesn't use, because he doesn't need to use. His game is his game, you know. Right. But I'm saying, like,
he's wrestling first, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But you know, as far as clinching, takedowns, and jiu-jitsu transitions, and all of that, you know, like I feel confident doing it all. You know, it's just like you said, putting the piece together. You know, adding the strike, the ground and pound aspects, and combining with it. You know,
man, it's exciting to see what kind of. Because it's like a recipe, right? You have all the different ingredients, and it's like, what's the final thing going to look like? I'm excited to see.
Yeah.
But let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to talk a little bit about the jiu-jitsu and the grappling, because you have these years of experience, and I'm not sure if maybe even you can answer this because of how many amazing moments you've had. But I want to know if there is one moment that really stands out in your grappling career. From the last,
as far as like winning a title,
maybe, or maybe it's even something that you learned by not winning. You know, is there a moment that really stands out for you, where good or bad?
I would say good.
Let's focus on the positive.
Let's go with the good.
Yeah. I think ADCC 2015 was a very great accomplishment, just because the way everything happened. You know, like I remember one year before I won the world's division absolute, and usually the guy who does that usually gets invited. And I remember waiting, like I was like, because I always wanted to fight ADCC, you know, it was a big dream of mine. And I was waiting, and then finally, like I think less than 2 months, just like about 2 months for the tournament, I was one of the last guys to be invited. I was so stoked. And then they said that I had to go on the 192, like 88 kilograms division. And I remember at the time I had to lose like 25 pounds. I was like, I'm doing it. I was doing it with a smile because I wanted to make it happen. And also, like, it happened in my country. It was in Brazil.
It was in São Paulo.
Yeah. And I remember, like, the edition that they had in São Paulo before that was in 2003, if I'm not mistaken. And I remember reading the magazine with my father at the time, and I was like, "That next time that happens, we gotta go watch it." So it was pretty cool to be fighting and winning the next time. So I think like that made it very special, you know. Besides like all the hard work that I put on, like it's really not just the 2 months that I had to prepare. It was my whole life bringing into that tournament. So it was definitely it definitely had a special taste, you know.
That was a wild tournament as well. That was really tough.
Yeah.
For a start, you mentioned about the weight cut. I remember seeing you at 88 kilos. Man, you were so skinny. Like, I'm amazed you even managed to get down to that weight cut, like that weight division.
You got to make weight 3 days in a row.
Every day, right? Yeah. And that's not your natural weight class by any means. So it was amazing you did it. But the matches that you had at that tournament as well, you fought Keenan in the final, right?
Yep, I did.
Yeah, that was a wild one.
Yeah.
What was it like, though, the sensation of having the Brazilian crowd there all cheering, your family in the stand, did that add to it?
Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere there was great. There was so many people, I remember, so much noise. The Brazilian crowd was great, but in some matches I was going to go against some of the guys that the crowd was there cheering for, so they were going to go against me too, you know, so I had to deal with that, but against the foreigners, they would go for myself. So I was like, okay, cool. But yeah, it was good to fight home, and it was good to have my family there, and you know, just winning ADCC, fighting ADCC was a dream. You know, let alone win the tournament and
first
on my country.
Well,
yeah,
right? You know, to win gold in the first ADCC performance, that's actually something that a lot of people don't do, because ADCC being such a difficult tournament, it usually takes a lot of people, maybe it's like their second or their third ADCC, they finally have the understanding and the experience to be able to win gold. But you did it first time.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I was really stoked. I was really like proud of that accomplishment, because You got to work hard to win that tournament, you know. It's not a small tournament. You're going to fight the best of the world from the first match on, and you better be ready for that, you know, if you're going to that tournament. And it was rewarding for sure, yeah.
And then you came back 2 years later in Finland, and you did it again, this time in a different weight division. Let's talk a little bit about that, the 2017 ADCC.
That was also a very special tournament. Again, it's ADCC. A win ADCC, it's always special. But I feel like what made that tournament special as well was the fact that I had ACL surgery 7 months prior to my ADCC, and the doctor told me there would be no way that I could fight that tournament, and this and that. And then, you know, when he left, I told my mom, screw that doctor, I'm screwing that tournament.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
He did a great job. I'm more joking than anything on that. But I did, like, say, oh, you know, I'm still going to do it. And, you know, it took a lot of mental effort. It took a lot of will to get back. Because I remember when I had that surgery, too, I put on a lot of weight. And, you know, I was kind of feeling down after that surgery because, you know, you're always competing active and that's a big, you know, time off, you know, a big setback. So it took a lot of will for me to get back in such a short time and win that tournament. You know, I was limited on my training. I couldn't do certain things and stuff. So I had to adapt my training. And, you know, it's challenging because it was a heavier weight class, you know, coming off of an injury. But I feel like I was born for, like, ADCC rules, you know. Like, I really, like, when I stepped there to compete, I feel really good. And it just feels like it comes off natural, like, to compete on that tournament, you know. Like, I don't even have as much adrenaline, I would say, at that tournament compared to even other tournaments. I don't know. It's just something about it. So everything worked out perfectly. And, yeah, it was amazing to win the second title there, man.
Again, you had some really tough matches at the tournament in Finland. Every ADCC is difficult, but it feels like your ADCC gold medals, you really had to earn those, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, for sure. It was like the battle started way before those matches, you know, but it was worth it, yeah.
Let's not forget, we did a film on you on that piece. Mm-hmm. What was that like? Was that a little weird to have the cameras kind of following you the day before through your weight cut? I think we even in the massage room at one point. How was that whole experience
like? Yeah, the guys were great. It was good. It was not a big deal. Yeah, it was good. Smooth.
I was a little amazed that you took your clothes off and you jumped in the freezing cold lake in Finland.
It's good to wake up, you know, like sometimes and you're like, maybe. Oh, you're just like in the room locked for the fight and you have all that adrenaline. I feel like that a little bit of like a shock, you know, just to get yourself awake. I feel like it's good. I like that kind of stuff. Ice baths and stuff like that. I'm all about that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that we ever told this story before, but there was one bad thing that happened that day, right? Because while we're filming you, or not us, but while the Flow Grappling team are following you around and filming you, that's the day that one of our cameramen dropped his camera in the lake.
That's true, yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
It's like a couple thousand dollars worth of camera equipment. Splash.
A worthy sacrifice, though, because the movie came out great.
Man, we were there every step of the way, and it was really cool. But yeah. You're right about how The Finland event was so different to the one in Sao Paulo and very different to the most recent one in California because it wasn't Helsinki, right? It was in this little town called Espoo, which is like 30 minutes outside of Helsinki. And it was a really quiet, sleepy little town, right? I remember walking around and just being amazed. There was never anybody in the streets. Mm-hmm. You never saw people. You know they live there, but it was always so quiet. And I can remember just kind of like all the fighters in the hotel and stuff. It must be weird to be in such a foreign environment and have to go out there and perform athletically. It's like, is it a challenge from compared to Brazil where you're more comfortable?
You know, I've competed everywhere, man. I've competed, you know, like coming up like blue, purple, but I competed Euros all the way to blue through black belt. Scandinavian Open before, like I think when I was purple, I competed in England. I think I met you in England. But I competed in England, I competed like Bulgaria. So I'm used to competing in other countries, you know, Australia, US, Brazil. So I feel like that didn't affect me that much, you know. And I went to Europe many times too before that, either for competition or seminar or whatever. So it didn't really like shock me that much. But I can see how maybe someone that only competed in a tropical place, like a warm place, and went there and it's the first time ever compete, it could affect them or not, or help them. It, you know, it could influence somehow. But to me, it was whatever. Yeah.
Man, jiu-jitsu has really taken you all over the world, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the craziest place you ever competed?
You know, I did one time I went to Malaysia and I was just like a referee for like a, they had like a, some sort of reality show there, like a fighting reality show.
Really?
Yeah, and then they were like, you had to select some those fighters that were doing the trials for striking, grappling, all kinds of stuff. I don't remember the name of the event or anything. I don't think it's still on the event, but yeah, it was like in 2013, I believe. And I was refereeing the whole day on the grappling part. And then the end of the owner of the event, like, was like, it was at the mall. This thing was happening in a huge mall in Malaysia. And the owner of the event was like, man, you know, if you're down to fight, to compete, we can call some guys from the crowd and then you can go against them. And each time they will start with 500, whatever money it's in Malaysia, they will start with that. And each time you tap them, you get 100 for yourself. You have a limit of 5 times tapping them in like 3 minutes, you know? So I went against a guy that had no idea in the beginning. I was like, tapping a couple of times, made the money. And then I got a purple belt in the second match, and I, like, I think I tapped him 3 times. He was like running around, and like, he also wanted to keep his money too, because, you know, if I didn't tap them, they kept,
oh, he
them.
Gets money. Yeah, right. So he, like, has to kind of survive.
Yeah, so I was right. Like, come here, chasing him around the... But it was fun. Yeah, it was pretty interesting, because
it's like
nobody
old...
there did jiu-jitsu, you know. It's like an MMA thing, but
right.
Even at the time there, people were even familiarized with MMA, you know, or anything else, let alone jiu-jitsu. So it was interesting to see the crowd's reaction and stuff. It was cool. Yeah.
But it sounds like the old circus sideshow, right? You know, when they have like
strongman competition,
yeah, like
right?
They have the carnival and they have the guy there, and it's like, okay, guys, come on up. If you last 5 minutes, you get paid.
Yeah, something like that for sure.
That's amazing. I didn't even know that still happens. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And you fought some pretty cruel places as well. Like, you fought in places like, you fought in Russia, right? You fought in
Chechnya. Yeah. Yeah, Chechnya was interesting too. Yeah.
Very different
culture. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Wow, man, you really have been around. But just talk a little bit about like the sort of the future as well for you, because, you know, how old are you now? You're about 30?
29.
29. Okay, right. So, you know, you've been involved in jiu-jitsu for so long. I think the big question, though, that people have is, does that mean now you're going to MMA, you're going to stop fighting and grappling?
Not immediately. I still want to do some matches. I still want to get that wrestling jiu-jitsu match, you know?
Right.
You know, you caused like a bit of a stir. What was that? Beginning of the summer?
I feel like I was the first guy to put that idea out there. You know, that's just facts. You can go and you can see. I was very respectful, actually, with my opponent that I challenged, accomplishment and everything. But, you know, I wanted to test myself, you know, especially like I told you, I'm the kind of guy that likes to challenge myself. I'm not saying I'm going to take him down or anything, but I feel like I'm confident on my game and I want to give it a shot, you know. So I challenged him and it never happened. I feel like a lot of people criticize me for that.
Well, let's talk about who have all those
grappling wrestling matches going on. Mm-hmm. What the hell? Like, I had the idea for that, guys.
Well, let's talk about who, because you, ADCC, 2-time champion, you wanted to put out this request to take a high level wrestler, a person from the world of wrestling, and compete against them. Who was it that you were looking for the match with?
I challenged Kyle Schneider for a grappling match, for not like a grappling match, like a cross rule match, a wrestling. I could fight on wrestling rules, whatever. I just wanted to go against him and test my stand up, and that's it.
So, world champion Kyle Schneider, the American
champion.
Yeah. Olympic champion. Yeah. This guy, phenomenal. Why call out somebody like Kyle Schneider? Like, you know, people might think,
I feel like
people might think that's a little overconfident, maybe.
Ambitious.
You know, ambitious. Yeah,
it would be ambitious for him to beat me in grappling, right?
Right.
Yes.
So I feel like I he didn't say that, of course. I put up the challenge, but to me it was just like, I feel like in grappling, I feel like I won most of the most important tournaments in grappling. And I did most of my victories, I got a takedown scored on them. And, you know, it's not like I was going against clueless guys in standing. You know, I competed against judo black belt, Olympia medal, silver medalist, Travis Stevens. I took him down. All respect for him. Great. And it was in a jiu-jitsu match. You know, it was not like a judo takedown, but it was a jiu-jitsu match. It was still a takedown. And, you know, I've always been the kind of guy that like to go out there and just challenge myself and put myself in those positions that people think, you know, maybe I'll get beaten on and end up proving them wrong in the end. So I feel like, I'm not saying I'm going to take him down, but I feel like I have a chance, man. I have a chance to go against him. I truly believe that, you know. And especially if it's in a cross rule mat format.
Like a hybrid rules kind
of
thing?
Yeah, like a hybrid rules. I think that would make like more sense for the both of us. But even if it had to be in wrestling, I would still, you know, go there and give my best, you know. And again, just because I have so much respect for wrestling. I train wrestling a lot for ADCC, for Nogi Worlds, you know, and I worked, I've trained Olympian wrestlers, I've trained Division I wrestlers. I trained a lot of like wrestling judo guys as well when I had the chance. So, you know, to me it's not like, oh, it's new if I would do a wrestling tournament, wrestling rules, but not in the sense of like, I have trained against like with the best guys in the game too, you know, and I feel like confident going out there and just going hard, yeah.
Now, we've seen a number of wrestlers test themselves now in this hybrid rules format. We saw Bo Nickel have a match with Gordon Ryan. Pat Downey has had a couple of hybrid wrestling matches. He's got another one coming up soon. So wrestlers have recognized that there is something there, right? They've now seen that through the popularity of things like ADCC and these super fights, they've seen that there is an opportunity to compete. Do you think now that actually that gives you a better chance of making this match happen with Carl Snyder?
I hope so.
I hope he's watching.
Yes, I hope he's watching.
I hope Flow Wrestling's watching. Flow Wrestling, turn it on.
Let's make it happen. Yeah. Yeah, fuck yeah.
I like it. Would you take a wrestling match with somebody else, or does it have to be him? I mean, like, that's the question.
I feel like you'd have to be someone as accomplished as I am in grappling. You know? That's what I feel like.
So it has to be somebody who's got the titles.
Yeah.
In their domain, in their world, that match up with your 4 world no-gi medals, with your 2 ADCC medals.
I mean, not exactly
medals,
match up, but I feel like somewhere close.
Something on
or,
the same kind
yeah,
of level.
Yeah, I think so.
There can't be too many guys there like that exist, though, right? Because you won a lot in grappling, so.
Yeah, but either him or someone on that level, but I would like to go against him, yeah.
I think that would be
a cool match.
Man, we'd like to see it. I know for sure. We'd love to see you in a hybrid wrestling rules match. But let's talk about grappling again, though. You say that, you know, you're not completely gone from the world of grappling. Okay, you're very interested in this hybrid wrestling style match. But the question is, are we still going to see you come back? Are you going to compete ADCC in 2021? Are you going to compete in super fights?
I plan to compete on ADCC 2021, but I can't say 100% because I don't know what the future holds now, me going to MMA and stuff. I definitely know I'm not like completely stopping with grappling now. I still have some things that I want to go and I want to compete, but I would say that's not my top priority anymore. But I'm not done with grappling, you know. I wouldn't say that.
Because we'd hate to lose you. That's the thing, man.
Don't worry, guys. I'm not going so soon.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Because I love seeing jiu-jitsu guys go and test themselves in MMA. I love it. I love it when one of our guys can go and represent and they can show what jiu-jitsu is capable of in the ring or in the cage. But I hate it when those guys go and they don't come back, you know?
It hurts me, man.
Like, there are so many amazing athletes over the years who made the transition and we never got them back. I'm thinking about guys like Jacare. I'm thinking even Damien, you know, he went to MMA. He never came back to grappling. So, yeah. I feel like
that will change, though. Don't you agree with, like, I feel like grappling is becoming bigger. People are getting paid better to do those fights. And I feel like that's one of the main reasons that some of those guys left in first place. And now you see less people going because maybe because of that. I don't know.
Well, I think it's interesting because you didn't have to go to MMA. It is a choice, right? Yes. It's like I think back in the day, people had to because of the money, the financials, right? It just wasn't possible to have a career. But you've been doing okay, right?
Yeah, I think to me, it's not really like about the money. It's really like something that I want to accomplish. There's something just like it's part of my like plan, joining jiu-jitsu and martial arts from when I was young. It's part of like I have to do that. I don't want to be like 50 or 6 years old and look back and be like, oh, I wish I would have done that, you know. I want to do it now, you know.
Nice. So let's just look forward to the next couple of weeks because we've got a ton of live events coming up on Flow Grappling and love to get your opinion on a couple of them. Just get your analysis from somebody who knows so well. Okay. We have Grapple Fest coming up this weekend. A couple of interesting matches. The Ruotolo brothers, both of them are in action. You've been watching those kids?
They're good. Yeah, right. I watched some of their matches. They're really good.
So we got Ty Ruotolo is going up against Dante Leon in a title eliminator match, I believe it is. And then Cade, his twin brother, is going up against Ashley Williams. So is Ashley an ADCC veteran? No, he's Kasai veteran, right?
Kasai veteran.
Yeah, that's right. And Adam Wodzinski up against John Blank from 10th Planet. And these are submission-only super matches. Do you have any thoughts on any of the matches? You can take a look at the card as well.
That's going to be interesting. Man, I don't know. Now you put me on the spot.
What do you think about these 17-year-old Ruotolo brothers, though, man? These
twins. They're doing really good. They have a bright future in grappling. I mean, it doesn't take much. You can just watch the match and you agree with me. But, yeah, I think they're in the right path. Yeah. You think, like, you're asking my opinion between his match and Dante, though?
I mean, you know Dante, right? Dante's a phenomenal athlete. Do you think it's kind of, is it too much for a 17-year-old purple belt to go up against a black belt no-gi world champion? It's a big challenge, right?
I think so. I mean, not that it's too much. I don't want to sound like that. I feel like anything is possible, and those guys, they're hungry. They want to make it. But I feel like maybe right now I would give the advantage for Dante just because, like, he's a little older, you know, he's stronger, looks stronger than the other kid, and he's being more active on the black belt tournaments and the other guys still coming up, you know. So I think for that match, but then again, I can't just say for sure, you know, like everything can happen in jiu-jitsu.
Because what about the idea then of the purple belt against the black belt? Because, Chase, you have thoughts about that too, right?
I do. I do have some thoughts. You know, in no-gi, it's much more common to have, you know, mixed belt matches. ADCC, for example, anyone can qualify if they win the trials. But in the gi, there's a big stigma or controversy surrounding a purple belt taking on a black belt. I think it's kind of silly, man. I think there could be an arrangement where you could qualify for like a pro tournament at any belt color if you win a trials event. But in my opinion, I think that there are a lot of really talented teenage athletes, maybe 17, 18 years old, that could start their professional careers earlier instead of becoming 21. And it's kind of holding them back, in my opinion. I think that they can't get these gi matches. They kind of have to do no gi to get elevated to that pro level. What do you think about that? Am I on the wrong path, or is there something to that?
So, what is exactly your question again?
Maybe
Sorry.
Just
no. What do you think about the idea of like the purple belt against the black belt? Yeah. You know,
in no gi, I think it's all right. It's like grappling, right? So in ADCC, that can happen. Some tournaments that can happen. So I don't know in the gi though. I don't know. It's just like kind of weird. It's just. I mean,
it's tradition, right? It's like there's a lot of
just
history
like
there.
Against the tradition. Mm. So, but I think like no gi, it's all right to do that. You know, there were some tournaments. I think the Abu Dhabi Pro used to be brown and black belts.
Yeah. But usually didn't go well for the brown belts, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I think like the gi should just stay the way it is, and I feel like no-gi, it's growing. The new tournaments, the new events that are coming up, I think they're great for the sport. And it's fine, I feel like, if the guy has a great level in grappling, you know, in no-gi, I think it's okay for you to go against a higher belt. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Did you ever try that? Did you ever have a match when you were a purple or a brown belt? Did you ever have a match against somebody else who wasn't?
I think when I was a blue belt, I had a match in Ogi with a purple belt. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How did that feel? Did that feel like weird, like you say? You know, because the belts should they always?
It was
in Ogi,
you know. So I don't know. For me, in my head, it was like, oh, I'm going against a purple belt. I was still a blue belt, but it was fine.
Interesting.
I mean, I won the match, so it was
oh, that's even better, yeah.
It went great.
So we have another big event coming up on Flow Grappling very soon. Third Coast Grappling is taking place here in Houston, Texas on March 14th. Now, this is a stacked card. We have an absolute ton of very big, very recognizable names. And the main event is a no time limit, submission only match with Gordon Ryan against Patrick Gaudio. What do you think about that? A no-gi match, no time limit, and submission only.
Man, that's a hard question because like Patrick is kind of like my friend, so we train together sometimes. But you can't deny how great Gordon has been doing lately. He's been doing really well. It's going to be a submission only.
Mm-hmm. No time limit. So it just goes until one of them
taps. I think
these
rule set favors Gordon. He's done more tournaments. I mean, that's just facts, right? He's done a lot more tournaments. He's done well on those tournaments of sub only.
Don't think I've ever seen Patrick do submission only, right?
Yeah, but I feel like he deserves some respect for, you know, going in against a guy that does that a lot. You know, that's hats off mm-hmm. for him, yeah? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think on the numbers, Gordon, I think, is a favorite for that one. Feel like just because, like I said, he's done a lot more sub only matches. Like, I feel like you can't just say he's gonna win for sure because that's not how it happens in grappling. Anything can happen. I truly believe that, but he would like be the favorite for that match. Yeah.
What do you think about no time limit matches in general? You know, we don't see too many of them. I can't say I've ever been to one in person. Is that something that you're interested in? Do you think it's a good idea? Is it more realistic?
What do you mean more realistic?
I mean, because you can...
In a fight, there's no time limit. There's no clock in a real fight,
more
right?
More self-defense-oriented, you could say. Some people might.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, looking for that side is interesting. I would definitely do it. I think there was, maybe if I'm not mistaken, a couple years ago, I almost did it, but it ended up not happening. A super fight, but yeah, why not, man? I would be down to do it for sure. I think MMA is more realistic, right?
Mm, true. Yeah, I mean is a fight.
I hear what you're saying, though. I get it. Yeah, I think like that would be interesting for sure. Going on that rule set is something I never done before. I would be down to do that before I stop competing grappling for sure.
Nice. Yeah. Cool. It's a very interesting challenge, right? Because I think it would really change your strategy as well, right? You wouldn't be able to just go out there really hard and try to tap the guy quick. And if
there are different ways to go hard. You know, you can go hard playing for like to get a takedown. You can play smooth and go hard on the right opportunity. I mean, I would still go hard.
Yeah. You don't want to be there for an hour. Like, let's just get this over with.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I would go to win. That's my mentality, but whatever it takes. But I feel like going hard is just part of my jiu-jitsu. It's part of my game. So, you know, maybe I would have to dose my, sprint, my burst throughout the fight. But I would still go hard, yeah.
There's a very interesting match on here as well. Pat Downey, the well-known American freestyle wrestler, is taking on Nick Rodriguez in a hybrid match. Now, I'll be honest, I'm not exactly sure. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what these hybrid rules are because I think it's designed to not be a pure wrestling match. It's going to give points for submission. So, for example, if Downey scores a takedown, he'll get a point for that. But if Nick manages to get a submission, that's like a point for that. So they're gonna add up the points at the end of the match to see exactly how that's going to go. Mm-hmm. But you've been watching Nick Rodriguez because, you know, he was
in your division. He was
in
my division, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about his progression so far?
I think he's doing good, man, you know. I do think he likes to run his mouth. I don't like that a lot, but I think as far as what he's been doing, he deserves respect for stepping, coming from a different sport and, you know, doing well in another sport. That's admirable, you know. He deserves the respect for that. And he's tough. He has good top game, has good takedowns. Yeah, maybe one day I'll get a match with him. It'll be cool.
Because, you know, he came into ADCC and he got the silver medal, right? And that's like, that's not an easy thing to do. You know, you have to be able, you have to have some kind of ability to kind of even get that far in ADCC. But you're saying, though, that you respect his talents, but maybe the attitude could be different?
I don't know, man. I don't know if it, a lot of the guys now, they're just like playing a character and they're liking to talk and stuff just to become relevant. I don't really like that stuff, you know. If I do say something, I really mean it. Like, I'm not trying to, like, make myself a character or something like that. So, whatever, everyone do their own thing. And I respect that in the sense that you do whatever you want. But if you ask me if that's something I like, I don't like that, yeah.
Do you think it's a cultural thing? Like,
could be.
Do you think it's not just cultural between America and Brazil, but also maybe wrestling and jiu-jitsu culture?
Yeah, I think that could be it for sure.
Because there's not a lot of trash talking like in Brazil in general, right? And I think this is something that maybe Americans don't get. It's like Brazilians, they like to make fun of each other all the time. But there's a certain line that you don't cross with the trash talk, right?
Right.
Could you explain a little bit what it's like, the difference? Because you've lived in America a long time now, so I think you have a good understanding.
You put it
right.
You put it, you probably describe it better than I would be able to. yeah, I think, I don't know, there's certain things. This is a martial art at the end of the day, you know? So, I don't know. I feel like that's not something I would do. I wouldn't act like that in jiu-jitsu, or I think I wouldn't act like that, period, you know? I mean, unless it becomes something personal, I can see myself, like, retaliating or saying something, but I'm usually not, like, about that. I don't like that stuff personally, you know? And I think that's just the way I was raised, you know? Maybe there's some Brazilians I like to talk to and stuff, but I feel like also the way the jiu-jitsu grew there, it's like once you're... You're doing that. You get it. You just don't act like that, you know. So now I think there's a lot of change happening and stuff. And like you said, there's maybe a culture influence, like a sports conflict or something. I don't know, man. I would just keep doing my thing and the way I believe it's right.
Nice. Because Gordon is not from wrestling. He's a 100% jiu-jitsu guy.
True.
But he comes in and he has his things that he says, and he says a lot, but he competes and he backs it up. So, you know,
it's
we can't.
It's the jersey. It's the jersey.
It is jersey, right? maybe it's where these guys are from in the States, because they're both from New Jersey, and people in New Jersey do have a reputation of being a little bit more confrontational, a little bit more aggressive. They talk a lot, right? Maybe it's that.
And for some people, too, that I think that's part of their strategy. Maybe, I don't know, I can't say that's what Gordon does, but I feel like some people use that to get on their opponent's mind and, you know, in a way, like, get some momentum or something.
Kind of psych them out before the match even starts.
I guess, you know, yeah. And it could be culture, like you said. It's just, like, at the end of the day, I'm not about that. So, you know, do I have anything personal against someone that does that? No, I think everyone is free to do whatever they want to do, but that's not the way I want to do it for me. You know, that's it. That's just my personal opinion.
Would you like to see more of that traditional martial arts that you mentioned, the kind of the values, like the respect, like the honor? Would you like to see more of that? Would you like to see it go back the other way? Or, you know, because you say you're happy for people to talk shit, but
I think there's some things, to be honest, that it's good that it changed. Like, if you ask me now, I'm not sure exactly to tell you all these, but I feel like some things about the old school style were polished, and I think I'm happy with it, but I do feel like the core values have to be kept on the mat, and like how you act as a jiu-jitsu fighter. That's the way I learn it anyway, as a jiu-jitsu athlete or martial artist, whatever you want to call it. I feel like there's a way that you got to carry yourself, and then again, that's just my personal belief, man. You know, I'm not gonna take my opinion and say, oh, that's how it should be, you know. It's just my idea, but we'll see. I feel like part of it was good to change, like I said, to be polished. And then part of it, I think it's going too far. Personally, I think that.
Yeah. But you think that it was good that it's...
Somewhere in between, I think it's good.
You think it's good that it's evolved a little bit, maybe as jiu-jitsu has... especially as it's become, you know, like we have a...
Professionalized.
There's almost
for
a
sure.
professional
for
side
sure.
to grappling now.
For sure, and I feel
exist,
like that's
right?
going to help the athletes to get, like how you say, like rewarded in a way that they, you know, they deserve it, you know, because at the end of the day, man, we put as much work as any other professional athlete, and... We just don't get it, the return as other sports, you know. And we do it for passion. I think that's, you know, very admirable. But, yeah, if, you know, if that stuff is making the athletes getting paid more and stuff, that's good. I just would like to see something kind of like in between. Not so much where it becomes kind of like wrestling, you know. And I respect that that's how they do in wrestling. That's how that's the culture there. But that's not the culture, I feel like, in my sport.
Nice. Well, I really appreciate you giving your perspective on that, because if, especially somebody who has so much experience of living in these different cultures, of living in these different worlds of the different sports as well, I have a lot of experience. Having somebody like you offer your opinion on that is great, because it's definitely it's a hot topic in jiu-jitsu lately, right? About the way that people conduct themselves and the way that people talk. So, but and then there's PANS coming up pretty soon as well. Do you have any teammates competing at PANS next month?
Yeah, there's some friends of mine competing. I'm not going to be going to Pan Ams because of my training and everything. But that'll be interesting, man. You know, that'll be I mean, if I always watch on Flow the fights after, so we'll see what happens, you know.
I haven't seen you in the gi for a while, right?
That's right. I think
when was the last time you competed in the gi?
I think the last time I competed was last year. Yeah. Oh, no, not last year. 2018. Yeah.
Worlds, right?
I think it was either Worlds or World Series of Grappling or something like
that's
that.
That's right. Yeah. So, wow, that is a while ago.
Yeah.
So, it's been a while. Are you still training in the gi?
I do occasionally, but not so much as I did before, no.
It's not your focus right now, right?
No. But, I mean, I grew up training the gi. From the moment I started as a kid until I was a black belt, I would train the gi every day. That's my, like, that's where I came from, and I think that's where my roots are on, you know? But I feel like in the last 3-4 years, I maybe got more committed to the no-gi scene. And I feel like now there are two different crowds. Yeah, you have the gi guys and you have the no-gi guys. And then there are small percentage of guys that do both. But, yeah, I think that's it.
What do you think about the way that the gi game is developing then? Because it's like you say, they've kind of diverged, right? So you have like this real strong no-gi scene, and now you have like the gi guys. You've been more involved in no-gi for the last couple of years. But do you still follow what happens in the gi world? Do you still watch the athletes coming through and kind of look at the new techniques that are being developed?
Yeah, I do. I watch some matches for sure. I can't say like I sit there and watch every match. I wish it was like that. It was never me. I was never like, oh, I'm going to watch every single match. But I can always appreciate a good match, a good jiu-jitsu match. Like, it's like a chess game, man, you know? I like that.
So maybe we'll see you back in the gi one day, but not for
maybe,
a while, right?
Not for a while.
Awesome. Well, man, Yuri, it's been pretty awesome to have you in here today. It's been really interesting to find out about this progression in your career and the way that, you know, things are moving for you. Just I wish you good luck in MMA, man, and
thank you.
Really hope that you do what's
keep
do what's,
us posted, yeah, man. We want to report on that. So
but fly that
you know,
flag for jiu-jitsu, man. That's what we were interested in, right?
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you. I'll keep you guys updated.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot for coming in, and we will see you again soon for another episode of A Fistful of Collars.